to Ping. This is episode 103. I'm Tina Wood.
Tina Hollywood.
Yeah.
Tina Hollywood.
Oh, wait. No, I'm not. I'm just Paul.
Welcome back, Paul. We missed you.
I missed you.
Did you appreciate Tina's sunglasses?
I did.
Can you speculate as to the reason why they were there?
Did she have ping eye? Oh, I get it now. I didn't get it when I first read the comment from the last show, but now it's like pink eye, but ping eye.
That's funny.
Nice.
Calling Dr. Howard. Dr. Howard.
It's funny. No, that's not reason. I'm actually not going to tell you. It's really is embarrassing for her, and I wouldn't want to divulge family secrets. But where were you?
I was in Shanghai, China.
I have much to learn still, Master.
And what were you doing there?
I was getting shirts tailored for myself.
He's not lying, boys and girls. He actually had this shirt custom made. He walked in today, and I said, "Hey, Paul, that's a nice shirt. Where'd you get it?" Thinking I could go run down to the Bellevue Mall and pick one up myself.
Because she likes wearing
men's shirts. I do. If that was pink, that would look good on me.
Guess.
I don't know.
Where are we going with it? Oh, yeah, so I was in Shanghai, China, visiting my...
You said guess. Oh. I didn't have a guess.
Yeah, it was your shirt.
Okay. So you were in Shanghai?
I was in Shanghai. Where were you? What happened to Ping 103 last week?
We had to take a brief hiatus because you were in Shanghai, and I didn't feel that Tina really carried her weight on her episode, and that she wasn't a good replacement for you.
Oh, see,
there was just no point in going on.
I know, but we're not going to be able to get comments like from Koskak that says, "Nice show, b****s."
Yeah, why? You're a b****.
I know. All right.
You can still call him a b****. Yeah, still bitches?
I know. So there's gonna be a whole lot of bleeping right there. That's fantastic.
Is that a curse?
Yeah.
Maybe. Said it first.
I did, but I expected there'd be a lot of post-processing, so that's that's great. So, and then one other comment that I wanted to throw back to, which is from C-Bay. He said, "What's the display size of those laptops? They're either huge, like 18 or 19 inch, or Laura and Tina are really tiny women standing in front of 14 inch notebooks."
Both are true. We are very small. And these are average size, I would say, but yours is tiny.
Well, I'm just
Paul's
big.
Is really small. mine is very large.
But it's the touch model, so you can put your hands all over it.
Stop the program!
I'm not sure where we're going with this. Let's start the show.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, Paul, I know this is going to be shocking to you.
Shocking.
Shocking, but back in my day, I was a little club kid.
Yeah?
I used to go follow various DJs around and watch them perform and listen to them and dance and whatever else goes along with that sort of atmosphere.
Right.
And I always felt that, like, as though, even though the music was great, visually, there was nothing to look at except maybe the laser lights and the things going on like that.
Or anything that was just kind of like going on in your head at the time.
Just the rhythm of the music.
feelings
of love.
Right.
DJs, color. There wasn't much of a performance. Unless you're talking about some really high level, like Moby, he puts on a show.
Sure he does.
But now, thanks to Windows 7.
Yes.
And touchscreen capabilities.
Uh-huh.
They are combining Windows 7 powered touchscreen DJ turntables.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
So now, instead of just the DJ with the headset, you know, like this on the ones and tees, and you don't know what he's doing, they can put up a big monitor.
Yep.
And you can watch him.
And you can watch him pinch.
Yeah.
And push buttons.
That's right.
Holy cow.
But it's just taking it to that next level. Like, do you know who Deadmau5 is?
Deadmau. Yeah, but he wears like a mouse suit.
Yeah, he wears just a big head.
Yeah.
Just a big head. But you know, he's just sort of bringing that performance art element to old school DJ.
Yeah,
my
first trip to Shanghai, I got to see Armin van Buuren over.
Okay, I don't know who that is, but I'm interested.
The number one DJ in the world, you don't know.
In Shanghai?
In the world.
In Shanghai?
He was in Shanghai, sold out club. It was the most spectacular experience of my life.
But wouldn't it not have been better if they had used some Windows 7 powered touchscreen DJ turntables?
That probably would have been good. The power did go out, so maybe something was blue screening of death behind the scenes.
You never know. Was music good?
The music was fantastic. So I think this is cool. There's actually a clip on YouTube on how this works with a DJ out there, Gabri Ponte.
Yep. Did you ever play the game DJ Hero? I mean, I feel like everyone's got that inner yearning inside of them to like...
It's probably something I should have played considering my avatar is called DJ Cod.
Seriously?
Yeah. But
you're a scam.
Yeah, I am. I used like all sorts of stuff back in the day, but Yeah. But not Windows 7.
Anyway, I think this is awesome, and I hope that more DJs start doing it, because like I said, it brings that visual element, and it tends a lot of, you know, even now, if you go to like a club or something, a lot of times they're just spewing songs from CD. Like the art of the DJ, like vinyl, is gone, and hopefully this is like bringing some of that creativity back to, to what I believe is an art form.
Right, it won't even be using CDs or vinyl, it'll just be using like digital tracks.
Digital tracks!
So it's one step away from the vintage DJ.
No, it's one step towards re-embracing the art form.
Oh.
Because you can do more with it. A CD, you just hit play.
Well,
that's it.
Well, maybe they can put it up to a Kinect, and then you can just like wave your hands.
This is a good idea.
Yeah.
This is a good idea.
Then, obviously.
Right? You could be like more bass. Wrap the tempo up. You know what I mean?
What was the first one?
Up the tempo. More bass.
That's what it is. So this was also.
I'm probably gonna get a gig out of this.
Obviously. This was also announced on the Windows Experience blog, and had you commented on that blog, you would have won a chance to get tickets to the MuTek Festival over in Montreal.
Way to tell them after the fact.
I know. Yeah, it's happening. It's happening this week.
Guess what you didn't do.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, you could have had a chance to meet up with a DJ and watch like a one-on-one like little scratch session
on the ones and twos.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next year.
Yeah, maybe.
There you go.
All right, Laura, as you know, I was an enterprising young person back in my teenage years, starting a business using Microsoft technologies.
You've mentioned that once or twice, Paul.
Perhaps.
It is your claim to fame.
I know.
You peaked too young.
I did. Now I'm on Ping, so.
That's true.
I'm
your
at least
star
pinging.
Is rising.
I'm next to the Laura Foy.
That's true. You may have peaked it just now.
Yeah.
Just now.
Just after this, not so much. But apparently, a lot of people are following in my footsteps, like this young Irish teen hacker that is running one of the largest phishing scams ever to hit the Xbox network.
So, were you also a criminal youth?
I may or may not have used Napster at one point in my life, but I never have run any type of phishing scam. But
so he's 14 years old and
14 years old, Irish teen, and he ran this scam that tried to get people who use Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 to divulge their personal information to him.
And what would a 14-year-old do with that personal information? His parents must be behind it.
I don't know. He probably would have like hacked into their Facebook accounts and like added them as friends.
Right. But I think it's like I believe that people are good, and I don't think he probably wanted to harm the world, but rather more get the pride of being like, I did this!
Probably.
You know, there's a lot of hacker pride out there.
Lots of pride
don't buy into it.
For running phishing scams and denial of service attacks.
And apparently there is praise and celebration and rewards for this teen, this young, young Irish youth.
When other networks get hacked, they try and sue and try and take the hackers out. What Microsoft says is, you know what, this may be a bit of a misguided youth,
right?
And we're going to take his power, and we're going to try and help him use it for legitimate purposes.
And we've hired him.
I don't know if it actually says that we've hired him, but we are working with him to
working
make sure that he uses this for legitimate purposes.
Which is awesome. And you know what, I think, you know, it's like that youth program that they do for like...
Boys and Girls Club?
No, it's called Scared Straight.
Okay.
Where they take
is
like...
Is this an MTV series?
Yes, and they take like young...
How did I know?
Young derelicts and like, you know, who are on the path, possibly down the wrong path, heading that way. And they, you know, they take them just at that crucial crux moment.
And they just throw them in jail.
Right. No, they scare them straight. They take their knowledge and their wisdom and use it for good.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is I was talking about this article with some of my teammates, and... Oh, sorry. I thought you were making a face. I thought you were, like, doing something rude.
No.
Which wouldn't be out of the question. Anyway, I was talking about this, and, you know, it's not uncommon that Microsoft hires hackers.
Yeah.
You know, like, we've got a whole division dedicated to, you know, hackers and, like, you know, cracking the code so we can, you know, make it not crackable. You know,
right.
Like, this is a legitimate, career.
It's like that guy from Catch Me If You Can. Have you seen that
Frank
one?
Abagnale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where we, the FBI,
federal government.
Right, have tried harnessing his talent to make systems more secure.
Maybe there'll be a movie about this young Irish lad.
Yeah.
And his journey to Microsoft.
that would be...
Maybe I will do the voiceover.
Maybe you should do that for the rest of the show.
No, thank you. Next. All right, Paul, you have an Xbox 360, correct?
I do.
Correct. And what do you do with your Xbox 360?
I watch all sorts of games of me playing Halo.
You watch them?
Yeah, after I play a game, I then sit back and I analyze my performance.
You do, don't you?
How else am I going to get better?
Wow, you're one of those people.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to pwn you.
You can get better
Xbox
by playing
tournament.
The game instead of actually watching.
Yeah, well, here...
That's
here,
like saying I'm going to get better by watching football. No, I need to go play football.
A wise soccer coach in my younger years once told me that practice does not make perfect.
Well, he's wrong.
Practice makes permanent. Perfect practice makes perfect, Laura. So if I don't watch if I don't watch my games, I don't know where I'm going wrong because I'm always focused in the moment.
Right.
I'm just like teabagging that person I once killed, and then someone comes up behind me and assassinates me.
Yeah.
I just left click a bunch of times.
Anyway, the reason we're talking about this is because apparently a new report came out that says 40% of Xbox usage is non-game.
Really?
And I buy it. I buy it because I primarily use my Xbox for non-gaming things.
Really?
Yeah.
You, the gamer, using Xboxes for non-gaming things. Imagine that.
I would say if I play a game once a week, I watch a movie 4 times a week.
Oh, okay.
You know?
The same movie? Just repeated?
Well, I need to watch it over and over again to make sure that I caught every nuance, to make sure I'm watching it correctly.
Right.
You know, if I don't watch myself watching the movie, how am I going to know?
I know.
How am I going to know if I miss something important?
And on Netflix, there's like party mode where like you can watch your avatar watching the movie.
I love that.
Have you ever used that?
Yes, I have.
We should watch episodes of Glee together.
I have the CD, season one, all CD.
Yeah, I have Netflix, which streams them all on demand in HD.
Oh my God, this weekend.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. All right, Channel 9, we used to have a dear friend to this studio and to Ping called Chris Pendleton, who would come in and give us all the updates on Bing Maps and Bing and search and all that stuff, but he hasn't paid us a visit lately, so now we are going to bring you the latest in Bing Maps news. And the latest in Bing Maps news is that they have introduced panorama street photos,
yes,
now available.
Called Bing Maps Street Side.
Street Side, and we talked about this in an earlier episode when
Ping,
it was just
episode 68.
You serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. You can go back 35 episodes
ago. I believe you, but it was just a concept then. It wasn't publicly available.
Right. It was a Microsoft research project called Street Slide.
Yes.
So we dropped the L, and now it's available on Bing Maps.
It's amazing.
I know. It's really cool. So for you guys that that weren't fans of ours back in Ping 68, or if you're like Laura and don't remember 35 weeks ago.
I don't even know what happened yesterday.
Then, so what this thing is it allows you to get a visual representation of popular streets in major metropolitan areas.
Now, while I think this is awesome and, like, really fun, what do you think are, like, the practical usage of this? Rather than for people who want to be like, can let me see my house?
Yeah.
Like, is there any sort of, like...
No, there's all sorts of great uses for this. Like, previously there have been, like, 3D representations where you can, like, click somewhere and you kind of zoom there, but then you have to, like, turn sideways and, like, see what's going on.
Right.
But with Street Side, it allows you to really be like you're the passenger in a car, and you get to see just, like, pan and zoom, just, like, going through all the different buildings, and you can see metadata that's associated with those images. So you can see like the street name, you can see the address, the building,
right? There
can
like even the be storefront like, sign.
Yeah, but there's also like digital imaging or like digital artifacts on top of that. So it's not just the image; it's also like textual things that are easier to read. So it's not like you're trying to like squint through an image that was taken at 20 miles an hour. You're actually able to see like, oh, there's like a business here,
right?
And read that information.
So again, cool, but I just don't see how this is making the world a better place. Rather, it's just fun.
Well, I actually consider this practical and useful.
Why? How?
Because now,
how?
Like, if I want to explore an area that I'm unfamiliar with, like, it's really easy to go up and down the street, whereas before, like, I'd have to click, like, 20 times. Now
when
I can
have
just
you ever
slide...
gone online to explore an area that you're unfamiliar
with? I would try countless times with all the different mapping applications out there, and I never could really get what I was looking for. Now with Street Slide...
Like what? Who are you? If I want to know what First Avenue looks like, first of all, I'll just go to First Avenue. Second of all, I just don't see... I need an address. I need to know, like, where something is, but do I need to see exactly what it looks like?
It's not about seeing just exactly what it looks like. It's also about taking the data and overlaying it on the image.
Right, the metadata and the textual yeah, I got it.
Maybe it's one really of you awesome. Can explain it to Laura. Maybe we should have a little game or a little,
I think it's
little
great.
Random drawing. So next time we draw someone out of the hat, you can come here and you can try and explain something to her on camera.
Bring it on. All right, everybody, that's about all we can take for this week.
Yes, it is.
That's about it. So please leave your comments and join us next week. And Paul, do you have anything that you'd like to add?
I'd like to say that I've finally gotten a trophy. Huh? The HTC trophy from Verizon.
How are you loving it?
I am figuring out how it works. It's nice to have a touchscreen phone that's like actually modern.
First of all, you need to change your lock screen because that's like what it comes with. You need to customize.
Yeah.
I'm going to hook you up.
Yeah.
I'm going to hook you up.
Good luck guessing my password. Anyway, I've started tweeting with this thing. I can tweet, and it only takes me about 5 minutes to like figure out how this thing works to tweet because I don't know anything about phones or Twitter.
I will teach you.
But you can feel free to tweet at us at @Elfoy.
At Elfoy. And at Paul Mess.
There you go.
At Paul Mess. All right, everybody.
And we're going to pretend to
feel. We don't have anything. So, bye. See you next week.